Hello, this is Chuck Solomon, and welcome to the Candidate Experience Podcast, where we focus on the job candidate journey from apply to onboard and the space in between. Let's get started. You care about the candidate experience. But have you ever wondered exactly how to bring your company to that next level and offer a world-class experience to your candidates? It's not easy. Fortunately, Candidate.fyi can help. Their solution guides candidates through your hiring journey, enhancing transparency and communication at every touch point. You'll also gain valuable insights on what's working and what's not with your hiring process. Best of all, it integrates directly with your ATS. Head on over to candidate.fyi and see how to transform your company's candidate experience today. Welcome to the Being Intentional episode, where Jorge Quesada, VP of People and Culture at Granite Construction, is my special guest. Listen in as he shares his insights on building diversity, equity, inclusion to impact both candidate experience and employee experience. If you like what you're hearing on this podcast, please do subscribe and share with others. Want to comment, discuss, provide feedback? You can send me a note via LinkedIn or via the contact form on our site, thecx.xyz. I thank you in advance for your feedback, and here's my interview. Hey, Jorge, how are you this morning?
Oh, Chuck, I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Good. I appreciate you getting up early. You're on West Coast time, correct?
Correct.
Joining me. I hope you've had at least some caffeine already.
Yes, sure have. You know, I'm an early riser, and so I love having conversations early in the morning. Me, they're the best ones, yeah.
Well, good. Today, I'm really thrilled to have you here, Jorge. We're going to focus in on DE&I, diversity, equity, and inclusion, a very important topic. And I think you're an expert and can speak well about this to my listeners. But before we get started, can you just tell listeners a little bit about yourself, your role, and the company you work for?
Sure. So thank you for that. And thank you for having me on your podcast here. So my name is Jorge Quesada. Originally, I'm from San Salvador, El Salvador. And I like saying that because it grounds me of where I'm from. And it gets a chance to really practice my Spanish, even though I only do it for a few seconds there. But
I like it.
Yeah. I would tell you that, you know, so prior to today, right, January, if we would have talked to me in 2021, I would have told you that I was the vice president of inclusive diversity here at Granite Construction. And since and now here in January, I am the vice president of people and culture. And so now I have the privilege of leading the practices around inclusive diversity, talent acquisition, and workforce compliance. So I'm really excited with the opportunity to bring those three disciplines together to really making an impact, not only on the candidate experience, but just in the culture here at Granite as well. We are celebrating 100 years here this January here at Granite Construction. So we're really excited about that because not only are we a company with a tremendous legacy, but we also have this energy here being in the Silicon Valley almost, right, in Monterey Bay, of being a startup. Like, we're really energized by the opportunity that we have in the industry to really, you know, lead in areas that touch construction, number one, but also in the area around diversity, equity, and inclusion. We're really excited about that. So really happy being here at Granite. And, you know, looking forward to our conversation today.
Awesome. So tell me, like, what led you into working into the DE&I space?
You know, it's a great question because what it does is it allows me to reflect on a couple things. You know, I always thought I was purpose driven, and I think I said those things and really didn't know the meaning behind that. But I was doing things in the community when I was working at Allstate Insurance Company at the time, getting involved in employee resource groups, getting engaged within the company, you know, structure in itself. And I didn't know the impact that was having in my own, you know, CV, as you would say. And I say that to you because fast forward, you know, like 15 years, you know, this chief diversity officer at the time was looking for someone to help him prop up the diversity and inclusion department there at Allstate after a transition. And my name kept popping up as someone who had a business background, because that's what I had. But more importantly, people saw me doing good work in this thing called diversity. I didn't know it that I was doing it because of diversity. What I was doing was I was just getting engaged in the work. I was getting involved. I was participating. I was taking that intent, as they say, that was in my heart and in my mind, and actually putting it to practice. And fast forward, it was the very thing that led me to an opportunity to work for Mike Escobar because of my business background and because of the presence I had in the diversity space there at Allstate at the time.
What I heard you say is you didn't start out planning to do this work, but you got directed into it. Would that be accurate?
You know, yes. You know, what you just said right now just reminds me how people say, you know, accidental project manager.
Right.
It wasn't that I was an accidental D&I practitioner. I think what happened was I just got engaged in the work, and then the work like almost started to brand me as someone that was involved in it. And so, because I'll tell you, you know, I like the follow-up question, because I could tell you that when I took on the role, I quickly realized that I didn't really know much about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And at that time, we called it diversity, just diversity. And then later on, we said diversity and inclusion. I didn't know the work of Ted Childs. I didn't know the work of Andres Tapia you know, Judy Kratz, you know. I just didn't know those giants of DEI in that space. You know, I'm thinking Jennifer Brown. I mean, there's a bunch of names that right now are just floating in my head right now. And it wasn't until I started going deep into the work and learning about it that I realized, wow, you know, there's a lot more that I need to learn before I can go out there and start teaching, before I start practicing, before I start talking about this work. It didn't stop me. Mind you, I was already the president of an employee resource group, so I was already aware about employee resource groups, but I realized that the calling was bigger.
Sure. You know, I have had a number of conversations, not recorded, like we're recording now, but with DE&I professionals at different companies, and you know, I've tried to get them on as guests, and what I've heard is from them is that they, you know, they're saying that they were, you know, basically were hired into the role, but they, you know, weren't really doing much, and that the companies had hired him, which I guess is a good step in the right direction, but they really weren't doing anything, and they didn't really want to come on the podcast because they're like, I'm going to find a company that is not only going to hire me but they're going to go beyond that they're actually going to do things and not just talk about things, but actually take actions and do things. So I really appreciate you coming on and sort of sharing your insights into this, because it really seems like your company, they hired you. Seems like they promoted you. And it seems like they're actually doing some things. So I appreciate you for taking your time and also your company for actually taking action on this. Can you describe either your challenge you're having that's happening with your current company or previous company around some aspect of DE&I or candidate experience and what what you or the company did about it.
Yeah. So, you know, so I appreciate, thank you very much in acknowledging, you know, my background, number one, but number two, also acknowledging the intent that Granite Construction had to think about, we need to do something impactful in this thing called diversity, equity, and inclusion. So we have to go hire someone. And the exercise of finding like someone like myself and bringing them on board and then unleashing them, you know, into a company like Granite. So I'm going to, I like to use that as a jump off to talk about what the question you just asked about, you know, some aspect of the candidate experience. You know, just construction industry as a whole, you know, when you think about a construction company, if I ask people who comes to mind, they think of men, right? Because we see men, you know, in the jobs. Sometimes you do see women, and sometimes you have some women that are, you know, are on a road paving, helping pave a road or leading, you know, the team there. But you also see them with flags, slowing down, stopping traffic and so forth. You don't realize how big the construction industry is, how diverse it is, and the various roles that exist within a company, and the need for the talent pool to expand is greater. So Granite, about 3 years ago, had this vision of really addressing this issue. So when you ask the question about the candidate experience, you know, two things. One, the candidate experience is shaped by what you put in front of them, whether it's branding, whether it's how you present yourself, you know, what you do around social response, you know, corporate social responsibility, ESG, all those things, right? So that's one aspect of it. The other aspect of the candidate experience is the, and it's really hard to say tangible, but what do they experience when they apply, when a company responds, when they engage in conversation, when they're being interviewed, when they come in for the second, the third, the final interview, when, you know, days before they get that orientation package, orientation, then, you know, the next 6 months, training and development. When you think about it holistically like that, you realize that when a company makes a decision to bring someone on board to address diversity, equity, and inclusion, you also have to think about what do you want to focus on. And so you really got to like open up the aperture of your thinking and realize that diversity, equity, inclusion is broader than gender and ethnicity. And so you have to be mindful that this candidate experience may have someone that comes from the military, may be in the LGBTQ community, may have a disability that they're feeling uncomfortable putting down on an application. So, and then when you ask someone to self-identify, what kind of environment do you create for them to be vulnerable enough, or do you have the right psychological safety in place for them to share those thoughts with you? That's the kind of stuff that Granite wanted to address and tackle. So I share that with you kind of in a high level way to say, what we wanted to do was to take a look at what was it from the candidate experience that we weren't addressing. And it's very easy to get comfortable when you've been successful recruiting in certain talent pools. It's very comfortable when an industry can pretty much dictate who comes in because of the requirements of a job. But when all of a sudden you have less talent coming in and talent leaving, and now you have more demand on you from requests for work, and you don't have the supply of employees like the industry is experiencing, when you have to expand to different talent pools, you realize very quickly that they're different than the talent pools that you're normally recruiting at. So that's what we started tackling from a candidate experience. I don't know if I'm being too broad, but I want to paint you the picture of what problem we were trying to solve here at Granite.
Yeah, it really sounds like you and the company were really trying to be intentional and in what you did. would that be accurate? Intentional?
Yeah, you know, so I love the way you said it, because you know what I can share with you is we knew that we need to create greater awareness around the problem of bringing more people into the industry and into Granite. Then from that awareness, we want to create a very keen focus on, you know, recruiting at different talent pools per se. But what we wanted to do, and I think, and this gets back to intention and impact, I think everyone has great intent that lies within their heart and in their minds. And I shared that on a personal level. It's intent that just sits there with no action. You're not going to get the results that you want. So it doesn't surprise me that here we are in 2021 having almost similar conversations around diversity, equity, and inclusion that we had 20 years ago. And I think it's because everyone has good intent. It's what you do with that intent to create impact. And you know, that old saying, you know, who wants change? And you've seen that meme where everyone raises their hand. And then, you know, the next picture is who wants the change? And everyone lowers their hand. You know, right. No one wants to take those steps to change. But really, the impact happens when you make a commitment like we did to bring someone in, and especially in this work. But when you make the commitment to change yourself, to try different things, new things, that's when the change happens. So, yes, we're very intentional, but intentional to have an impact.
Well, it's great to hear that, you know, not only is your company talking about it, that they're actually taking actions, because as we all know, you know, talk is kind of cheap. Actions speak louder than words. I'm saying some cliche things here, but it's true. I mean, people judge you on your actions and what you do, and it seems like that, you know, this is rewarding to your company that you're able to go ahead and recruit more people in an industry that is, you know, it's tough. It was tough after the recession that happened back in 2008, 2009. What we've had in the last, you know, few years with the pandemic and stuff, I'm sure it's gotten even more difficult to get the people that you need. And sounds like you have the demand. So you're not able to, you know, deliver for your clients, your customers, if you don't have enough people working, doing the work. So good for you guys.
Yeah, no, you know, Chuck, and I'll tell you that I think one of the things I've realized coming into this industry, it's an industry that basically outsiders basically tell the story. And I think what's important is for the industry itself to tell the story of what's going on inside and the impact that we're making outside of our companies. You know, when you get storylines that say that this work is only for men, then all of a sudden, you know, a woman will hear something like that and say, well, that's not for me. And we have a tremendous opportunities for women in the construction industry. When we say it's an industry that people that are not educated, or when people say that about the industry, you realize the science, the intellectual capacity that's needed to build the bridges, the roads, the buildings, right, that companies in this industry are building is amazing. So, you know, I don't know where people, you know, create that storyline, or when they say it's a low paying job. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of good pay here in this industry. But we need to tell that story. We need to amplify it.
You said we need to have the industry not be spoken for by outsiders, that the construction industry needs to talk on its own. So I, you know, appreciate you trying to do that, at least in your part, to go ahead and, you know, you should be telling your own story. So, and that's, that reflects on your company. It reflects on the industry. It reflects on candidate experience, not just candidate experience, but also, it's one thing for a candidate experience, but what happens after candidate experience? It's employee experience. So
yes,
there, you know, you when you take steps to go ahead and be intentional, that seems to be the our theme word for the day.
Yes, yes.
But when you take those steps for the employee experience, then what results do you get? You get good retention, you get good referral. And both of those, when you have high retention, high employer referral rates, what do you get? You get, you know, your recruiting problem solved, right?
So, yes.
Yeah, all that's great stuff. Great stuff. So we're first week into 2022. I'm having a hard time. I'm still writing 2021. it'll take me another week. It'll take me another week or so. No, it's not 21. It's 22. So get with it. The calendar has turned over. So, but do you or your team or anything at Grant have anything new planned for 22? You know, to do anything intentional to improve candidate experience or DEI or anything that you can share?
You know, I appreciate the question. And the reason why I do is because in 2019, we created a strategy and I'm going to tie it into DEI because it kind of leads into what we're doing around talent acquisition. And that strategy was built on something that I had learned in my previous stops, that we wanted a commitment to the mix of people that we were going to try to bring on board. That was going to be from 2020 to about 2023. In around the end of 2021, starting in 2022 through 2024, we were going to start looking at the processes that we introduced. And we were going to improve on that mix, right? And then in 2022 through about 2024, we were going to start optimizing the mix. And then, you know, ultimately by 2025, we were going to be at a place that we were going to really hit on all cylinders. And I share that with you because we had this strategic roadmap that gave us a 5-year view of what we wanted to do. So one of the things that we've been really intentional, right, to go back to that, is that instead of creating something new, what we wanted to do was improve on what we had done the previous years. So I could tell you specifically from a candidate experience, when I think about talent acquisition, we want to strengthen the relationships that we have with our stakeholders. And what I mean by that is, so just imagine the candidate experience the way it was in 2021. We're going to challenge ourselves to strengthen that relationship in 2022. So what could it mean, right? It could be as simple as something like this. You know, when a candidate comes into the office, when we are allowed to do that, or before, you know, they join a Zoom call, what do we do today before that first moment of truth? And if we can identify how to improve that moment, let's do it. So that's just the candidate experience. But through our, you know, external partners, how do we strengthen our relationships with them? Our hiring managers, how do we, you know, strengthen our relationships? So the theme there is strengthening relationships. The second thing is, it gets to this improvement piece that I mentioned, is how do we improve on our metrics? The value that we're going to provide to a company like Granite, right? Value equals benefit over price. So our job is to provide more benefit than the money that it takes to run a talent acquisition department in order to create the value. So what other benefits are we going to bring to the table by improving on our metrics that we had? So if it took us 14 days from post to hire someone or post to have an interview, can we make it to 13? Can we make it to 12? What can we do to strengthen that and improve on our metrics? And the final one, and I think I've said it, tying it into intention, is how do we make an impact by the actions that we're taking? And we want to be very, very myopic about that, because activity, just for activity's sake, just keeps us in the same place. But if we have action to make impact, then we're moving the needle. So when you ask me that question, not that it's more complex, but you have to understand where it fits into your strategy and what are you doing that's still on purpose, on point of what you set out to do in this work. So I hope I didn't muddy the water there, but it's those three things: strengthen relationships, improve on our metrics, and make an impact on the actions that we take.
No, I love it, Jorge, because, you know, what you really said is your company came up with a plan, and then you over time are evaluating how you did with your plan. So you made it mm-hmm. measurable. And then mm-hmm. and then you also optimized. So things that might not have been working as well, you're able to go ahead and optimize things over time. So that's great stuff. And I think for any HR team that's sort of looking at what they can do, you know, now's a great time to start planning. You know, what do they say? Like, when's the best time to plant a tree? And I think the answer is like 15 years ago.
15 years ago. Yeah.
15 or 50 years ago.
Yeah.
When's the second best time to plant that tree today?
Now. So, yes.
Yeah. Start planting a tree. If there was one small tip that you could offer, on how, you know, listeners might be able to improve DEI at their company, do you have any like quick tip for that?
You know, when you ask the question, you know, I want to be able to answer it succinctly for you. And I would tell you is to create a devil's advocate. Find someone in your organization that can take a look at your practice and allow them to challenge, allow them to tell you what could be better. And the reason I say that is I think we there's paradoxes that exist. And one of the biggest paradoxes that I think is important for us to understand in this DEI space is that not only do we create change agents and people who support the work, but we also need people that can challenge it at the same time. Because it's in that challenge, in that support paradox, that you find the areas of improvement. So the need to continuously do diagnostics in at your company is so critical. Because if you believe that DEI is something that you set a goal, you achieve it, and you stop, that's when you get yourself in trouble. Because some companies who have pulse surveys, you know, there's all Gallup, great places to work. Some companies, you know, will say, hey, when we get to 80%, that's where we want to be. 90%, that's where we want to be. And then they stop or they slow down. And I will tell you that this is the kind of work that is continuous. It's evergreen. And today, we don't know 5 years from now what is going to be the diversity dimension that's going to need our attention. You think about pronouns today. 5 years ago, no one was talking about pronouns. We're talking about them today, right? And think how difficult it is for people to really wrap their heads around just that concept. Think of the word equity. The word equity was not in the department names of some of these companies, yet there was equitable practices that we in HR had to make sure, because we're the vanguards of those policies and procedures, that we had equitable practices, right? And so I give that to you because that's the kind of stuff that if you are not aware that this is evergreen, then you're going to miss the opportunity that's in front of you because you were so caught up with just focusing on employee resource groups. And that, so that's, I think, have this beginner's mindset, but more importantly, find it through an advocate that can tell you, can challenge you, as well as while you're trying to create the support that's needed for the practice.
Awesome. I love what you said about, you know, finding a devil's advocate, someone to challenge you, because I think you get into that group think sometimes. And until you have someone that sort of challenges what you're doing, to really, you know, not do it mean-spirited, but to do it in a way to sort of improve. And until you do that, you're really not going to improve. I also liked what you said about this isn't an end goal. That DEI is a long-term, you use the word evergreen. I love that. It's not something that, you know, you start, stop, and you're done. You get the little moniker and stuff that you did well. You need to be getting that moniker every year. So
yeah, you know, some people, Chuck, I got to tell you, you know, and it's been recent. some people believe that DEI just started like in the last 2 years, right? Right. And I got to tell you, I just picked up the book Meditations by Marcus Aurelius, right? Mm-hmm. And in that book, you know, it talks about, you know, be mindful of your perceptions, be mindful of your actions, and be mindful of your will, right? And when he says that, you got to understand that in this world of diversity, equity, and inclusion, when we talk about unconscious bias, you know, Marcus Aurelius was talking about perceptions, you know, back in his time. And so this concept of knowing the brain and realizing that it's our perceptions that shape our actions is something that's been around for a while. So this is not something new. We have just now become better at understanding how to act on it. And so this is why it's important to continuously be thinking about actions and being in, you know, intentions with impact and having this evergreen approach to it and having this just feeling comfortable being a beginner at it and also, you know, continuously learning.
Absolutely. If people wanted to get a hold of you after listening to you talk today, how could they do
that? So, you know, you could do it two ways. The first thing, the easy way would be through LinkedIn, Jorge, middle initial A, Quezada, Quezada. And I have MBA after my name. There's other Jorge Quezada. So I want to make sure that you got that. And then, you know, we also have a podcast, Construction DEI Talks, and it's specifically for the construction industry. But we talk about other, you know, we talk about a more general approach to diversity, equity, and inclusion on in the podcast, but we focus on construction industry. So they can reach me that way. But yeah, LinkedIn, and if, you know, join us on our podcast.
Yeah, I will include those in the session notes as well, linked to them, so people don't have to remember that. It'll be in the session notes. So, Jorge, thanks for your time today.
Chuck, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it, and I'm wishing you the best here in 2022.
Thanks for listening to the Candidate Experience Podcast. You can reach out to us via our website, thecx.xyz. That's thecx.xyz.